Here we go. We're at the very top of Nun Vav Amud Aleph. Okay. This is, as you'll see, this is an interesting Gemara. I do not have a lot of insight into it. I will try my best just to explain it. But, there's clearly, I think there must be more going on here beneath the surface that I just don't fully understand. We have been talking about dreams and understanding the relevance and significance of dreams. This is going back 2 weeks when we learned about dreams. So this is, it's really, the only thing you know is it's a continuation of two ideas. One idea is that we said most recently is that you dream about things that you thought of during the day. So things that are in your mind are more likely to enter your dreams. The contrast to that, so the opposite of that is that, oh, are you here to join us, Laura?
Yeah. Oh, great.
Here. I might need to switch back in with it. Some of that. We're at Numbav, top of Numbav and Lidav. So the first thing that we had said last time is that dreams are those things which are, this is not a continuation of Thursday, this is the ninth part. Okay. So dreams are things that were on your mind during the day end up, there must be like a neuropsychological reason for this. So things that were on your mind come out, at night in your dreams. Things that never, ever entered your mind won't come out at night in your dreams. The other thing that we said last time, which will come up again relevant here, is that the dream follows its interpretation. So that if you have a dream that didn't seem to be so great, so don't discuss it, don't mention it, don't think about it, don't interpret it. Leave it like an unopened Pandora's box. Okay? And then dreams, though, if you have a good interpretation, will follow the good interpretation. That was what we had mentioned in the last Amud. So those two points are relevant to the stories, most of the stories and discussions we're going to have in the Gemara tonight. Again, beyond the stories themselves, I don't have a tremendous amount of insight. This is really stuff that's I'm sure there is maybe more to discuss, but we'll see how much we can pull out of it. Okay, so we're at the top. So Amarle Kesar, the Roman emperor, the Kesar said to Rishua, Rabbi Chinina, they have an assertion there, Rabbi Chinina. So Amrisu Chachmisu Tuva. They say, the Caesar says, that you're a really smart guy. The Jews say you're like the big Rebbe. So you're very smart. So Emali my Chazisa b'chamai. So why don't you tell me what I'm going to see in my dream tonight? Like, in other words, right? If you're so smart, why don't you predict my dream? So Amrle Chazis de Mishachri Lach Parsai. What you're going to see is that the Persians, right? This is a Roman. Okay, he's a Roman emperor. That the Persians are going to force you into servitude. Okay, Rashi explains. Just the first Rashi says that Kesar is a Melech Rome. Vahelo Tagarim Parsim. There were battles and ultimately exchanges of warfare between the Persians, those in Iran, and the Romans. Okay, so that was something that was historically happening at the time. So he says they're going to end up putting it into service, right? Rashi says Osimbach Avodas Hamelach. They're going to make you work for their king. Vegarbilach, and they're going to seize you. Vraibach Shakse Bechutra Dahava, and they're going to force you to shepherd, to pasture shkatsim, disgusting animals like pigs. Bechutra Dahava, with a staff of gold. Again, I don't know the exact why. You'll see, there's another dream where similarly there's an additional element of something nice, but with the staff of gold, I guess because he was a Caesar. Okay. Hear her Kula Yoma, all day long, he was thinking about this dream. I mean, this vision that he might have. Of course, it politically made sense because that was what he was worried about in general, that there was this back and forth between him and the Persians, so he was worried about that possibility. It was like, it's almost like literally, it was his worst nightmare. V'l'or t'chaza, and at night, he saw that dream. Where does this come from? The idea that you dream generally what you were thinking about during the day. It comes into your dreams somehow. Sometimes in a distorted way. I mean, he was shepherding pigs. No one shepherds pigs. He was the golden staff. Again, you introduce elements into the dream that are quite unusual and bizarre, right? Eccentric and eclectic. But the basic idea that he would be captured and forced to do something menial is something that was really his fear. Okay, another story. Amr le Shavur Malka l'Shmuel. So Shavur Malka, this is now the opposite end. So Shavur Malka was a Persian king. Shah Pourmokh comes up a number of places in Shas. He was a Persian king at the time in charge. They had also at some point been in control of Eretz Yisrael and also in terms of Babylonia and Babel. And they, so the Persian king, I saw here, Shapur Malka comes from, in English, it's Shapur, that Shapur, and Shapur is from the Shah, and that which in Iran is Shah. The Shah means the king or the one in charge. Pur is the first to, or Bur here, the first to Shabur, Shapur, the first to the son. So he's the son of the king. That's the way it talks about it. It's just Shapur Malka, Lishmuel. So he met Shmuel, and he said the following, Amrisu Chachmisu Tuva, they tell me you're very smart. So you tell me what I'm going to see in my dream that night. So I'm relay, Chazis the Asu Ramai the Shavubach. You know what you're going to dream about? You're going to dream about the Romans are going to come and they're going to capture you. Exact opposite. And what are they going to do? The Tachni Bach Kaishasa Berechai Dhava. And they're going to have you grind up date pits with a golden mill. Not just any mill, but a golden mill. Again, obviously, an unusual element of the dream. But the basic idea is one which is, again, his worst nightmare, literally. So here, Herkula Yoma, the Shapur Malka thought about that idea all day long, with the Ursa Chaza, and at night, he dreamt that dream. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Is there a connection I see in the previous, you read about, where in a dream a person is never shown a palm tree of gold. So it means gold, gold, gold.
Yeah, I guess it talks about that you... So normally, yeah, in the previous Gemara we had mentioned that you wouldn't see in the dream a golden palm tree, an elephant going through the eye of a needle, that which is something you would never see during the day, experience during the day, so you wouldn't dream of that at night. I guess, and we are obviously talking about things that are also sounds like impossible here. We're talking about, I mean, a golden palm tree is a little bit different than a golden staff, okay, and maybe a golden mill, although both probably don't exist, or typically exist. But if you were told to think about it, I imagine even a elephant going through the eye of a needle, for some reason that was on your mind, then presumably you would dream about that also. The reason why the Gemara mentioned that was that that was to prove an example that you normally don't dream about something you never would think about. If you never would think about the elephant in the room, then you won't dream about it until someone points it out, and then you can't get your mind off of it. And so, you know, it's a good point. I think that is the Gemara's point. The reason why they were successful in predicting their dream was they were able to put something into their mind that was a little bit unusual, but at the same time said that they would really want to be concerned about. And therefore, they thought about it. If he told them something totally, just the golden mill, and there's a mill, and it's going to be ground, I don't think they would really dream about it. It was something that they were really nervous about. They were in the battle, back and forth, each side. There was a Persian king, there was the Caesar. And I think it's because he put that idea into their head that they were, you know, specifically...
You just said mill. Wouldn't think about
no.
it, but you'd say golden mill or golden staff. That your
maybe
mind
you might think
that subliminally.
Also, because he's the king, maybe that was the connection. Yeah, no, I understand. I think I think if I was the type of neuropsychologist who deals with dreams, I think I would have a lot more insight. There must be something with how he was able to mix elements both of their basic fears, things they were thinking about. Probably they were thinking about anyway. I mean, if there was a military campaign going on between these two, you know, major empires. That was probably something on the king's mind anyway, to some extent, some fear that he had that he would be he would lose the battle. And then the idea that, as you're pointing out, he brought in elements that were a little bit unusual, bizarre, or maybe and somewhat connected to the royalty is maybe how he was able to get him to think about it. Okay. I think it's fascinating. I don't know exactly. You know, it's like a good trick. It's like, you know, those mind readers who are able to predict what you're going to get. They guess what you're going to say. I guess they can use some things like this to help you choose something something to, you know, and then guess it. Okay, let's go further. So Bar Hedya, so there's this guy, his name is Bar Hedya. He was like a Mefarshi Chalmi Havi. He was one who interpreted dreams. But he was an unusual interpreter of dreams. he made a business out of it. Man Diyahiv Le Agra, Mefarsh Le Lamal Yasa. If someone gave him money for his interpretations, he would interpret them well, or in the nerds in a positive way. If you didn't give him money, you kind of got it for free, he would give the interpreter dreams not a negative light. So Abai and Rabbah Chazi Chalma. So Abai and Rabbah both, they still had a vision of a dream. It's apparently the similar vision of a dream, as we'll see. And it's unclear. It seems like they might have gone to this person for interpretation separately, because otherwise it's unusual why they would both tell them their dreams and see such a distinction. But perhaps they went, you know, and told him the same dream at separate times. Anyhow, Abaye, Yahivlei Zuza, Abaye had paid for the interpretation. Rava lo Yahivlei, he didn't pay. Rava did not pay for the interpretation. So Amrilei, they said to him, Akrian Bechelman, we heard read to us in our dream, Shorcha Tavuch Leinecha, your ox is going to be slaughtered in front of you, and you're not even going to eat it, is the rest of, what the rest of the pasuk says. These are all these psukim, or at least most of the psukim we're about to read, are psukim that are read in the part of the Tochcha, you know, where negative things, Tochcha is part of the Torah, where Hashem is giving us rebuke for sinning against him, and these are the sort of the negative punishments that Bnei Yisrael are told they're going to have. These were the types of psukim that were read to Abaye and Rava in their dreams. Okay, so L'Rava, so interpreting this part of the dream to Rava, Amar Le, Pasid Eskech, you're going to lose your business, you're going to lose your pranasa, V'lo Ahani Lach L'Mecha Mi'utzva De Libach, and you're not going to even be able to eat, you have no appetite from the sadness of your heart, Mi'etzev, from the sadness of your lave. You're not even going to have any interest. Like you're depressed. People are depressed, not interested in eating. You're not going to have an appetite. Labai Amalei, Abaye said to him, Miravach askech, Mirvech askech. Your business is going to do very, very well, profiting. V'lohani lach lamechal michuda delibech. And you're not even going to like be interested in eating so much because you're going to be so filled with joy. You're going to be busy like you know counting the profits and all the zeros and the dollars you're making. That you're not going to be so even needing to eat because again your glad heart is so full you're not going to need it to fill it with other stuff. Okay, Amrilei they said to him, Akrinan they read to us in the dream, Banim ubanos tolid, and the rest of the pasuk says I think the rest of the pasuk is important. You're going to have sons and daughters that are going to be born to you, and the rest of the pasuk says the lo yelach they will not be yours or they will not be with you ki yelchu b'shevi because they're going to be taken into exile. L'Rava, so to Rava, he interpreted Amalei l'chish, like the negative connotation of the pasuk, meaning literally, that's what's going to happen to you. You'll have children, they're going to be taken into captivity. L'Abaye Amalei, to Abaye, they said, Banech b'noseich nefishi, you're going to have lots of sons and daughters. Umenasvan benaseich la'alma, and your daughters will be married to people from around the world, faraway places sometimes. Umedamyan be'apech kidika azlan b'shevye, and it will seem to you as if they were taken into captivity. Not that they really were, just that they get married, they go off to another country to establish the Abaye family elsewhere, because of all the various people around the world that are going to want to get married to you and your daughters, to your family and your daughters. Okay, Akrayan, they said, another pasuk was said to us, Banech ubenoseich nesunim la'amacher, your sons and daughters are going to be given to another nation. La'abaye amar leh, he said to Abaye, Bincha ubenosecha nefishin, you have lots of sons and daughters, ve'at amris likrivach, and you're going to say they should marry my family. You know, let them get married to my second cousin, third cousin, whatever the details are, get married to, within the about my family. Vihi Amra, and he here refers to which other she is. There's always other she is, the wife. The wife is going to say to Abaye, no, Likriva, let the sons and daughters marry into my family, my side of the family. The Achva, who's going to win this battle? We know how this ends. We all know how this ends. The Achva Lach, and she's going to coerce you. The Ahavas Lahon, the Kriva, and they're going to get married to her family. The Havika Amacher, which is like another nation. They end up on the other side of the family, all your sons and daughters. Okay. L'Rava, Amrilei, but to Rava, he interpreted the dream. Amrilei, Dibitsu Shechiva, your wife is going to pass away. The Asu Baneho Vnoseha Liyadei Itzisa Achrine, and her, your first wife's children, will end up being raised by another woman, which is like as if they were raised by another nation, okay, by another person. Okay, the Amr. Oh, and to support this interpretation, so Bar Hedja quotes a teaching of Rava. I mean, he's giving interpretation to Rava, and he says the Amr Rava. For you, Rava himself says, Rava says the name of Rav Yirmi Bar Abba Amr Rav. What does it mean when the pasuk says that your children are going to be given to another nation? This refers to when children are raised by another wife of the father, meaning not by the mother of the children, but by the wife meaning the stepmother, the second wife of the father. Okay. Akrayim Bechelman, they say to him, you know, in our dream, they were read to us as follows. You should go and eat your bread with joy, with happiness. So labai yamrele miravach haskech, your business is going to do great. The chal tishasis v'karis, and you're going to eat, you're going to drink the karis, and you're going to read psuka michudud libech. You're going to read this interpretation. You're going to read this pasuk from the joy of your heart. The fact that this was. Literally, you're going to read it because of a literal benefit you're going to have. The Rava Amarle, Rava says to him, Pasidiskech, you're going to actually do poorly in business. The Tavach, the Loachal Fishesis, you're going to have to slaughter your animals, and you're not going to be eating or drinking them. The Karis, and you're going to read this Pasuk, Lefechuche Pachtech. You're going to, you know, sometimes in order to chase away your fear. I mean, sometimes, like, when you're not in good times, so you say something to, like, you know, I can do it, I can do it, even though it's not going well, or like, it's going to be good. So, again, I saw it quoted, I think it was in the article, I think the Marsha says that this is a pasuk which is often said to, traditionally, like, again, in some tradition, I don't know how common it is nowadays, but to say, lechecho b'simchach necha, to someone who has a bad, you know, troubling times, so to at least to say, look, you should have better times ahead, even though times are not great, go and eat your bread in simcha. Similar to how Rava, who he's interpreting, is going to have a failed business, will not have any profits and eat for any food from it, but will say to himself, you know, hopefully tomorrow's going to be a better day. Okay, Gemara continues to the third wide line. Akrinan, so it was read to us in the dream. Zerab to tiasodis. So you're going to have a lot of grain that you bring out to the field. But the end of the pasuk says, this is like, again, this is why these are all pasukim which are, you know, atocha. This is where they're negative to the Bnei Yisrael and the punishment. So it says, Zerab to tiasodis. You're going to bring out lots of, you know, grain to seed your field. But yimata asaf, you're only going to harvest very little. It says because the locusts are going to come eat all your crops. That's what the pasuk ends. Labaye amrele tabaisa nireshe. Tabai, he just quoted the beginning of the pasuk, like kind of ignored the end of it. Meaning, Tabai, you're gonna have lots of seeds in your field. Things are gonna be great. La Rav Misefe. La Rav, he just read the end of the pasuk, which is, you know, Ma'ata Sof. You're gonna only gather a little bit, Rava. Okay. Krinan, another pasuk they read, it was read to him in the dreams. Zaysim, you lach b'chol gvulech. You're gonna have olives all over your properties, lots of olives. But the end of the pasuk says, "V'shemen lo tasuch." You have all these olives, but you're not going to have any oil to anoint yourself with. Ki ishal zeseh, because your olives are going to fall to the ground. You're not going to get any. So labai or melei mireisha. Again, to buy, you just go at the beginning of the pasuk. You're going to have olives all over your property. Everything's going to be good. L'rava melei seifa. L'rava, you just read the end of the pasuk, which is again a negative light that you're not going to have any oil. You're not going to because your grapes are going to be lost. Okay, akrayan. It was read to them in a dream. V'ro ko'ame aret. The end of the pasuk says, "Kishem Hashem Nikralacha v'yuru mimeka." They're going to see that the name of Hashem is written on you, and they're going to be fear from you. Now, where is this referred to? It's generally, first, the fact that we wear tefillin, and on the tefillin in our parashios, we have the Shem Hashem. So they're going to see that the Shem Hashem on you, and they're going to fear of you. Okay. La Abaye, to Abaye, he interpreted as follows: Amarle. Nafaklach shemen deresh mesifta. You know what's going to happen? Sorry. Nafaklach shema deresh mesifta. You're going to end up with the name as the head of the you're going to be the Rosh Hashiva, the head of the academy. Haves. You will become the head of the academy. Ve'emascha nafelas ba'alma. And everyone's going to fear you. You're going to be the revered Abaye, who is the head of the Rosh Mesifta of the yeshiva. L'rava amarlei. To Rav, he said to me, you know what's going to happen? Bidaina de Malka Itbar. You know what's going to happen? The king's treasury is going to be broken. Itbar. It's going to be broken into. Mitpeses Bigande. And they're going to grab you as the Ganav. Okay, they're going to falsely accuse you, Rava, of being the Ganav. Vidaine Kulama Kalvachorminach. You know what the whole world's going to do? They're going to say a Kalvachomer from you. What's the Kalvachomer? Rashi explains. I think it's Rashi explains. Yeah, Rashi explains. They're going to say like this. Rashi says, "Im Rava Nechshad." If the great sage Rava is going to be someone who is going to be taken and suspected as being the and charged with falsely as the Ganav, that they're going to accuse us possibly. They're going to fear from you. Not that they're going to fear Rava. People will be fearful because of you. Because you were charged falsely, they're going to come to fear themselves because they say, oh my gosh, we have even less clout and we could easily be charged with being a Ganav. Guess what happened? Lamachar, the next day, itbar b'dayin of demaka. And in fact, the treasury of the king was broken into. The asu v'tafsi l'Rava, and they grabbed Rava and charged him falsely as the Ganav. So Amrilei, this again, continuing the dreams that they brought to Bar Heja, Amrilei chazachasa, we saw lettuce, okay, alpum dani, which was growing on the mouth of a keg. Okay, so labai Amrilei, to Abai they said, ayef askech kechasa. You know what's going to happen? Your business is going to double up. It's going to be profitable and doubles like a chasa, like the lettuce. The way, I guess, the way it's, Rashi, it's going to be doubled because its leaves are kind of very wide and they double on each other. I think this, I'm not quite sure what it means by doubled exactly. It looks doubled, or whether it means, you know, how you have the foldings. They're very flat leaves, so they look folded in on each other. Again, I'm not exactly sure, but again, it's going to be doubled like the way the leaves of the lettuce are kind of doubled. L'Rav Amalei, no. You know what we use the chasa for? Chasa is one of the vegetables, which romaine lettuce, which is allowed to be used for maror. So marir is kech chasa. You're going to have a bitter parnasa, bitter business, because, like chasa, like the way the flavor. So he interpreted for one person the way it looks physically, doubled over, and therefore double profits, or the taste, according to Rava, which is bitter. Okay, Amri Lei, Chaza, Bistra, Pumdane. So I'm going to see meat growing on this barrel, on this keg. So Labai Amri Lei, Basim Chamrech, you know, Basim from Besamim, your wine is going to be very, you know, smell good, has a good fragrance. The Asu Kuliyama, Lemizban, Bistra, Vachamra, Minach. And the whole world's going to come to buy, because it smells great, the wine and the meat from you. Larava Amri Lei, Takuf Chamrech, your wine's going to spoil. They're going to buy the wine from you to flavor their meat, meaning you buy somewhat spoiled wine, like wine vinegar. Meaning wine vinegar. When you cook, right, Marsala wine, all the wines that you cook with are not, no one takes the very fancy wine that they have in their cellar and uses that to cook and to spice their meat. Wine is very common to spice meat with, but not the high-quality wine. It's the cheap stuff. Shamrilei, Chazan, Chavisa, the Tali, the Dikla. So we saw this barrel that's tied onto the palm tree. Labai Amrilei, to Abai, he said, Madli is kech kedikla. You know what's going to happen? Your business it's going to be on the ups and ups, like a day palm, high up in the air. Your business is going to fly. Larava Amrilei, you know what's happening? Your business is going to be like the dates themselves, which are sweet. Now Rashi explains, chalich askech matok. It's going to be sweet. Kolomar shetitain chorasech bezol. You know, it's going to be, you're going to be give out your business for very cheap, and you know it's going to be sweet for everyone buying it. It's a sweet deal. Problem is, it's a bad deal for Rava because he's going to be selling at low prices. So it's a sweet deal for everyone else, but not good for Rava.
Abai had more money than.
No. Abai was a well-to-do Amora. Rava was not, historically, yeah. We'll see as we get to it. I think that's what it seems from here. Amrilei chaza romana de kadachi apumdani. He said we saw a rimon, a pomegranate that was on this barrel, on this keg. Labai amrilei asik askech kich romana. Your business is going to become very expensive. You know, pomegranates are expensive fruit. The Rav Amrilei, meaning you're going to go up in value. The Rav Amrilei, koi kavoy iskech kirumana. You're going to have your business is going to be like a sort of a bitterness or a tartness if you ever eat the pomegranate. It's not exactly the sweetest of fruits, and that's going to be the way your business is going to taste in your mouth. The Amrilei chaza chavisa denafa labira. So you know they said we saw a barrel fall into a pit. So Labai Amrilei, mitbayiskech. What's going to happen is your business is going to be very, you know, the bayi means you're going to want it. Everyone's going to want you, what you're selling. They're going to want your business. Kida amar nafil, this is like a saying, they have like a colloquial phrase that was nafil pizza bedira. The bread fell into the bread, which everyone needs to get. Everyone needs bread. It's the basic sustenance of life. So it fell into the pit. Can't get it. V'lo eshkach. So it's going to be, meaning it's describing something hard to find. So in other words, a buy, you're going to have something everyone's going to want. It's going to be hard to get. And you'll be the person selling it. L'rava amrele, pasi deskech. L'rava, he said to him, your business is going to be lost. It means it's going to be like just a waste. The shadilei l'dira, or it's going to be damaged, it's going to be destroyed, disgusting, and you're going to throw it into the pit. It's a complete loss. Amrilei chazina bar chamra dekai asidan v'no air. So they said to him, we saw in the dream, bar chamra, a donkey, a small donkey, a young donkey, dekai asidan, which is by our heads, v'no air, and it's braying, right? The donkey's brain near our heads. Labaya Malay, Malka Haves. You're going to become, Rashi says, Malka Haves doesn't mean you're going to become a king, but Rosh Yeshiva, last line of Rashi on the right, Rosh Yeshiva Hadaresh Drashos. You're going to be a Rosh Yeshiva who's going to be giving lots of Drashos at the head of the academy. Umetargaminan Omed Alav, and you're going to have a Maturgaman, right? That's the person who's going to translate, but really, in those days, I guess it was big yeshiva, they didn't have microphones. Instead, they had one guy who was like there was like one guy yeshiva was like a really booming voice. Usually they're the best person who leads the miros. But in the old times, they would be the person who would recite the shir that the Rosh Yeshiva was speaking, because Rosh Yeshiva might not have as loud a voice, so that it would project to the back of the room. So as the Rosh Yeshiva would say something, then the Maturgaman would repeat the phrase so everyone else could hear it. Lahashmiya b'kol ram, to say it loud, the rabim, to everyone else, kikol chamor hanoer, as if it was like a donkey braying. Donkeys are very loud and they're very, so the point is that you're going to be your shiva, be saying lots of shirim, people are going to be screaming your shirim to the masses. Okay. Makavit, v'kai amora alach, and there's going to be an amora who's going to be with you to be your maturgaman. The rav amalei, petar chamor, gahis mitfilech. The phrase Petar Chamor is like removed. It's missing from your tefillin. In the tefillin, it has one of the parshios, V'ya ki v'yacha, is one of the parshios of the tefillin. And in that parsha, it speaks of the pigeon Petar Chamor, the need to redeem the firstborn donkey. So he says that phrase of V'chol Petar Chamor tifteh b'seh is going to be missing from your tefillin. So Amrle, Ladidi, Chazili, you know, people check phones. So this is like one of those things. All the things he's been talking about until now were like future things. This is like in the past. It's like missing. Like, so he said to him, well, you know, Ladidi, Chazili, I've checked my phone, but I see, the Ise, and it's there. The phrase is not missing. No. So he says, Amrle, Vav, the Petar Chamor, Vadai Gahis, Mitzilech. What's missing is the Vav, because it says, V'chol Petar Chamor Tifteh B'Seh. If you look at the third line in Rashi on the left-hand column, it says, the first word is Chamor. The Chamor in the Pasuk happens to be written Chaser. So it's written without the Vav. So it's Ches, Mem, Resh, is the three letters of that word, which is normally the Vav. Ches, Mem, Vav, Resh, it should be Chamor. So normally in Torah, this is written Chaser. He says, so the Vav of that was missing. Okay. So now the point, well, if the Vav was missing, let's say the way the Rashi explains it is that the Sofer wrote it and he was writing Chamor Male with the Vav and it should be missing. And he didn't realize his mistake, so he had to erase the Vav. Now, if he would erase the Vav after he wrote the Resh, so first of all, it would be very noticeable that there was a space there and it was erased. And first of all, by the way, it'd also be possible because you can't erase it afterwards. Has to be written Kisidron in order. Instead, what happened was he was writing the Vav and he realized, oh, I can't write a Vav. So he extended the roof of the Vav and turned it into a Resh, into a Chamor. That's okay. That's okay. In other words, you can write it as Ches and then the Mem, and then you start writing the Vav. You're like, oh, there has to be a Vav here. And then write it as a Resh. The only time that that's really much more of a problem for the letters in the right kavana is when you're writing the Shem Hashem. In other words, you have to have kavana, you're writing the Shem Kedushas Sefer Torah, or the Shem Kedushas Tefillin, or Shem Kedushas Megillah in mind when you're a sofer. But you don't have to have specific kavana each letter when you're writing it. Specifically, I'm having a kavana to write an aleph at this moment. You do have to be checking what you're writing off of a text next to it to make sure that you're not making any mistakes. You're supposed to write mitoch haksav from seeing a text in front of you. If you start writing one letter and you're like, oh no, that's the wrong, I need to make a resh instead of a vav. So the vav is a short roof and a leg coming down. The resh is simply the longer roof. So you just extend the roof and you got your resh. So not a problem. That's what he says. Oh, that's what you have. You're missing that. Because he say, check this tefillin. It's not kosher. But this is, you're missing the vav, but it's kosher. Okay, that was his case. So again, now we're back to the now story. The sof azal rava. So now Rava, before it was Rava and Abayu came to tell the same dream, now it's just Rava has his own dream. I saw that the outer wall of my house, I'm not sure, the outer wall of the door, something had fallen down. So Amrlei, what that means is Ishtech Shechva. Your wife is going to pass away. That's the outer door. They're opening your house. Amalei, because we say, the rabbis say, Lo'olam lo'krasi ishti al ishti besi. The wife is called the primary person of the house, therefore she's referred to as one, essentially the person of one's house. If the front of your house falls down, that's why he's interpreting it as if the wife would pass away. So he says, Amalei, another dream. Chazai, kochi v'shinai denatur. My teeth, okay, fell out of my mouth. Amalei, what that means, b'nechum nasech shechvan. It means your children, your sons, your daughters are going to pass away. Amalei, chazai tarti yone deparchan. I saw two doves that flying away. Amalei, treinashai miskareshes. It means the two doves are two wives that you're going to divorce. Amalei, chazai tre gargalidi de lifta. I saw two... had two heads of turnips. Amalei train kufe belas. There's going to be two. How does it translate? You're going to swallow. You're going to get two hits. You're going to be hit twice. Meaning it's a play on words, but it's going to be you're going to be hit two times. Okay, you're going to get two blows. So Amalei Rava ho yoma that day. Yasib be midrasha kule yoma. You know what he said. What's the safest place to sit where you're not going to get any hits to your head, any blows? To sit in the corner of the Beis Medrash, right? It's unlikely that this is going to come true. So Eshka Hanu Tre Saginora, there were two blind men, Davi Kiminsu. They were fighting Bahadi Hadadi, I guess, in the Beis Medrash. Azo Rava Lefrukinhu. He went there to separate them. Umahuhu. And they hit him. Larava Tre. They hit him two times. Dalu, Tre Dalu. So we say they raised up to hit him another time. Amar Rava said, "Mistayan Trey, I only saw two blows." Chazai. I only saw the two blows you're going to hit, not a third. So that's it. Lasof. In the end, Asa Rava v'yahiv le'ayigra. So in the end, Rava also came back to Bar Hedya. And he also paid them money. Like this, so now he paid for his interpretation. So he's now going to interpret nice things to him in his dream. So Amalei Chazai Ashisa Dinafla. I saw the wall that fell. So Amalei Nechasim Belo Mitzrayim. You know why you have the walls that fall? Because you have no boundaries. You're going to have such a huge property. It's like beyond walls, beyond borders. That's below Mitzarim, without any boundaries. So the chasim below Mitzarim kanis, they're going to be buying property without any walls. Amalei chazai afdana. I saw. What's the afdana? Rashi doesn't. How do you translate it there? No, Chazai. Oh, yeah. Here, Chazai Afdana Dabaye. I saw the mansions of Abaye Dinafal. I saw that Abaye's mansions are falling down. Vikasyan Avke, and the dust of his mansions now is coating, like covered me. Like things fell down and I'm covered in his dust. Amalei, he said to him like this, Abai Shachav, and Abai is going to die. Mitivte, and his yeshiva, Asis Lagabech, is going to go to you. You're going to become the Rosh Yeshiva. And in fact, Rav was Rosh Yeshiva after Abai. Amalei Chazai, Afdana Didid Nafal. Now I see my mansion, my house falling down. The Asu Kuli Alma, the Shakul Levinta Levinta, and they're all coming to take the bricks one by one. Amalei, Shemaasech Midbarin the Alma. You know what's going to happen? Your Torah is going to be spread around the whole world. Everyone's going to come to take your Torah away, essentially, to faraway places. It's going to be sought after far and wide. Okay, so Amalei, it said to him, Chazai de Avka Resha Venatar Mikure. This is where, oh, he said, the it's going to cover my head.
I saw that my head split and my.
Oh, my brain fell out. Nashar Mocho. Right, yeah. Nashar Mocho. His brain's going to fall out. Okay, literally. His brain fell out. His head. Amalei, Udra mi base Sadia, Nafik. How do you translate this? Is Hamuchin Yotzi Min Hakar? Oh, you're just the feathers come out of your pillow. That's it. Yeah, Udra mi base Sadia Nafik. Just the feathers came out of your pillow. Very, very benign interpretation. In other words, again, if you have a bad dream, give it a benign interpretation. It's not going to have a big deal. Amarlei, Akriyan Halala de Mitzra Bechama. They were reading to me the Egyptian Hallel in my dream. So this refers to the regular Hallel that we read. And Rashi says this is the Hallel Sha'anu Korim B'Pesach, meaning Lefi Shiesh Hallel Acher, Hakori Hallel Gadol, Korim Lezeh Hallel Mitzri. There's different Hallels. There's the Hallel HaGadol, that's Kiulam Chasto, Hod Hashem Kitov Kiulam Chasto, that's the Perek Tehillim, which has Kilam Chasim, Kilam Chasim, Chasim, many praises, I think 36. That is the Hallel called the Hallel HaGadol. Okay. But there's a regular Hallel that we say on Yontif, and that's called the Hallel HaMitzri. And the reason why it's called the Hallel HaMitzri is that it's the only Hallel that we say at night. We say it at night, at the night of the Seder, we say Hallel. And it's said as a praise for Hashem taking Mitzrayim. So to it's best identified because it's the only, it's the Hallel Mitzri because it's the Hallel we're saying to thank Hashem for taking time to try him. It's the only Hallel we say at night. So it connects us to the night of the Seder. So that's why it's called Hallel Mitzri. It says it's not in the dream. So Amalei, Nisa Mitrashilach means because you're going to see miracles in your dreams. Sorry, miracles will happen to you because of the praise of a miracle that you saw in your dream. All right, why don't we stop? Why don't we stop over here?